Good morning, and welcome to our worship service this morning on this Pentecost Sunday. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would give us your Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with the light of your word. Lead us to confess our sins and to rejoice in your promise of salvation. Move us to love as we have been loved and to live as you would have us live, to the glory of your saving name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for this morning is hymn 913. We'll follow the order of worship that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin this Pentecost worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and each other that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and gives them his Holy Spirit. May God, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion to the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
God, on this day, you once taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day, by the same Spirit, to have a right understanding in all things and to always rejoice in his holy consolation. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first reading for this Pentecost Sunday is the account of Pentecost, taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. It's printed for you in your bulletin on page 4. Our sermon text will follow these verses, and we'll finish off the story of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is our gospel reading for this morning. It comes from the Gospel of John. We'll read two short verses from John chapter 15, verses 26 through 27. "Glory to you, O Lord." Jesus here is speaking to his disciples about the Holy Spirit whom he would send to them. He calls the Holy Spirit the Helper. Jesus says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning."
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Please rise. For our confession of faith this morning, we'll be saying the third article of the Apostles' Creed, along with Luther's explanation from the Catechism. That's found in the middle of page 5 in your bulletin. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I believe that I cannot, by my own reasoning or effort, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, nor come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church he daily and richly forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day he will raise me and all the dead, and give to me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 496.
Thank you.
remain seated. We ask the children of our congregation to come forward for the children's sermon. Good morning. Maybe you heard in the first part of our worship service that we're celebrating the festival of Pentecost today. Sometimes it's called the festival of the Holy Spirit. And if you were listening to our reading, you heard a little bit about the story of what happened on Pentecost. I want you to listen very carefully because I'm going to tell you something very, very important right now, okay? So listen carefully. Are you ready? Hotheos agapeistin. It's very important to know. Do you know what I said? I'll say it again. Hotheos agapeistin. Still not sure what I said? Do you know why you don't know what I said? What did that sound like? Did it sound like English? It was a different language. You know what language that was? Very good. Good guess, Reese. It was Greek. Yes. And what I said was, God is love. That's an important thing to know, right? But if I'm not speaking the same language as you, how can you know it? You know, that was the problem on Pentecost. The disciples were gathered there in Jerusalem, and there were many, many people from all over the different countries that didn't speak the same language as them. And do you know what the Holy Spirit did? What miracle he performed? He did, yes. You heard that in the reading today, didn't you? He made them speak their language. So they weren't hearing the important message that God loves them and sent Jesus to save them, but they couldn't understand it because it was a different language. The Holy Spirit took care of that and did this amazing miracle. Do you remember what else appeared above the heads of the disciples when that miracle happened? Yeah, little flames of fire. I'm going to send you home with one of these, and you can color in those flames of fire over their heads. That would have been pretty amazing to see and hear, wouldn't it? To see tongues of fire appear above the apostles' heads, and then to hear them speaking in different languages. That would have been amazing. Do you know that's not the greatest miracle that happened on Pentecost? It's not even close. Listen carefully to the sermon today and hear if you can find out what is the greatest miracle that happened on Pentecost. There's a hint. It's happened in your heart and my heart as well. Okay? That's very good. Yes, you got it. You gave away the theme of the sermon today. Faith is the greatest miracle of Pentecost. Good job. Okay, you can have a seat. Well, we don't need to do the sermon today. Reese took care of it. Nothing like having your thunder stolen by a first grader, right? Please rise. Grace to you and peace in the name of our Savior Jesus, who has sent us his Holy Spirit, not just on Pentecost, but throughout our lives, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith on this Pentecost Sunday is taken from Acts chapter 2. We'll read verses 14 through 21. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Can you imagine going to a very impressive fireworks display on the 4th of July, and when you're done with that event, coming home and raving about how impressive those little sparklers were that the children were waving around? Or would you go to an air show where the Blue Angels were performing and putting on an incredible aerial display? Would you be transfixed on the little children who were throwing little cardboard or wooden airplanes around and pay attention only to those airplanes instead of the amazing aerial show above? I don't think you would. kind of be ridiculous. So why is it then that we often miss the forest for the trees, so to speak, when it comes to Pentecost and the miraculous events that happened that day? Through the words of Scripture, we hear the rushing wind. We see those tongues of fire above the apostles' heads. And we read of them speaking in different languages to many different people in that multinational crowd that gathered that day in Jerusalem. And we gasp, what a great miracle! And it was. It truly was a great miracle. But we often almost completely ignore the true power of the Holy Spirit, and almost completely ignore and miss the greatest miracle of Pentecost. The greatest miracle of Pentecost was not the apostles speaking in tongues or different languages with these flames appearing above their heads. Again, make no mistake, that was a great miracle the Holy Spirit performed. But it was like sparklers compared to a giant fireworks display, or a toy airplane compared to the power and the speed and skill of the F-16s. Even the nature of the miracle of Pentecost points to the reason for the real miracle of Pentecost. It should indicate that that certainly was not the greatest miracle that happened that day. After all, what was the reason God gave the apostles the ability to speak in tongues that day in Jerusalem? Well, the people of the crowd answered that question for us when we read in our scripture reading for this morning. Earlier in the chapter, it says, "Then they were all amazed and marveled and said to one another, 'We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God.'" So that should be our first clue as to why speaking in tongues was not the greatest miracle of Pentecost. The miracle itself was done in order to achieve a greater miracle, namely the spread of the gospel, to proclaim those wonderful works of God, not just to people who could understand the language the apostles were speaking, but to people of many different languages from all over the world. When Peter stood up to defend himself and to defend the apostles, saying that they were not drunk, he pointed out to the people that this was actually the fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy, a prophecy found in the prophet Joel, that the Holy Spirit would do the things that they were witnessing for themselves that day on Pentecost. The last verses of our text are actually a quote of Peter from the book of Joel, the Old Testament prophet, from Joel chapter 2. So Peter said this, he said, "But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, 'And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord.'" Peter mentions, as he begins that quote, the last days. This is what will happen in the last days, he says. The last days, as they are defined in the Bible, refer to the time after Jesus completed his work of salvation. In other words, it refers to the time period after his ascension to his return again on Judgment Day. That means the apostles and the people who were gathered there that day in Pentecost were living in the last days. It also means that we are as well. Although the Holy Spirit's working among us is usually not manifested in such an unusual and amazing way as it was that day on Pentecost, yet the Holy Spirit does still live and dwell in the hearts of believers like us still today. God still pours out his Holy Spirit through the Word, which converts, through the miracle and power of the Word and the water in baptism, and also through the Word and the bread and the wine, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, which we partake of today. We're also told in the last verse of the Gospel of Mark that these miraculous signs that the Holy Spirit allowed the disciples to do were meant for a purpose that was very important. It was to confirm the Word through those accompanying signs, Mark 16:20. And when we examine church history, we find that to be the case. we find that those miracles and those spirit-driven miracles nearly completely disappear after the time of the apostles. But the believers in Christ are still filled with that promise of the Holy Spirit. He still lives and dwells in the hearts of all believers. And that's why Peter can say through the prophet Joel, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. So the tongues of fire, the speaking in tongues, the rushing of the wind, those were visible and audible proofs that God had indeed sent his Holy Spirit upon his apostles. Just as the prophet Joel predicted, they did prophesy. But what we need to remember is what that word prophesy means. It first and foremost means to proclaim what God wants to make known. We often hear that word prophesy and we think of something that's a foretelling of the future. But it doesn't always mean that. It doesn't always mean that, but it always does involve something that God wants to make known. It's always involved the preaching of the message that God wants to make known, namely, the gospel. The saving message of Jesus' death and resurrection for the salvation of all mankind. So this coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost was the last great miracle of God before the return of Jesus. Now that great miracle of Pentecost began on that day. It started that day, but it continues on wherever the gospel is preached. Wherever God's saving message of salvation through Jesus Christ is spread and taught by men or women, by young or old, by kings or servants. So the greatest miracle of Pentecost continues still today, and it will not end until Jesus comes again. So the greatest miracle of Pentecost is, of course, the power of the gospel message. The gospel is the greatest miracle of Pentecost. The astonishing power of the Holy Spirit is displayed most evidently in that gospel of Jesus Christ. Think about why that's true. Because through those words, the Holy Spirit accomplishes the impossible. He creates living, saving faith in the stone-dead hearts of men and women, of infants and elderly, of rich and poor. Paul refers to this greatest of all miracles as he concludes the quote from the prophet Joel in the last verse of our text and says, "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." That is a miracle. Calling on the name of the Lord is an Old Testament phrase which meant believing in the true God, believing in Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And through that miracle of the faith that was created in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, we who deserved death, eternal death, have been given everlasting life instead. The greatest of all miracles happened in an incredible amount on Pentecost as well. If you go further on in this chapter, you find the result of Peter's sermon, the miracle that the Holy Spirit worked on that day on Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 says, "And that day, Pentecost, about 3,000 souls were added to them." 3,000 souls that day were rescued from hell itself and given eternal life. Their names were written in the book of life in heaven. Is there a greater miracle than that? There isn't. And the greatest news is that this great miracle of Pentecost is still happening today. Even better news, it's happened to each one of us through the power of the Holy Spirit, through God's Word. It was His power working through the Word in the water and the Word in the sacrament of baptism. Perhaps you were brought to faith as an infant, or through the Word as you were older, as an adult. And we are encouraged and strengthened by that same miracle of the Holy Spirit through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the Word and the bread and wine, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, strengthening our faith. Our souls, too, have been rescued from death and hell. Our names have been written into heaven's book of life. Think of what an amazing miracle that is. It's been performed by God for you and in you. So what is the greater miracle? Speaking in tongues or the everlasting salvation of a human soul? That's right, Reese, it is. It is the everlasting salvation of a human soul. Isn't that kind of like comparing little sparklers to a giant fireworks display or a paper airplane to an F-16 fighter jet? Let's not miss the greatest miracle of Pentecost. And may we always rejoice and be thankful that the Holy Spirit has worked that great miracle within us. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free Spirit. Amen.
You may be seated. An offering from our thankful hearts will now be received. Please rise. Are there any prayer requests for this morning? We join our hearts together in prayer. O Holy Spirit, the Comforter sent from Jesus, we pray that you would work in us by the word that we may know the truth in Christ. Guard and keep us in the faith that saves us. Fill us with your power so that we will delight in doing good works to the glory of God the Father. Move us to be active in spreading the good news of Jesus to people everywhere, that you may work saving faith in their hearts as well. O Holy Spirit, you are our helper. We pray that you would fill our hearts with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Renew us and inspire in us the fire of faith brightly. Make us bold witnesses to the truth of the Holy Scriptures which you inspired. Assist us in our prayers that they may be acceptable to our Heavenly Father. O Holy Spirit, you are the Comforter, and we pray that you would comfort those who have suffered loss, those who are sick, or anyone who needs your special care. We pray that you would be with us and strengthen us in our daily lives. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 500. Please rise. We continue with the service of the sacrament in the middle of page 7. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly fitting, right, and spiritually beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day kept his promise and poured out the Holy Spirit to empower his church to proclaim the gospel in all the world. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth adored, heaven and earth with full acclaim, shout the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna to the Lord. Truly blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We give you thanks, O Lord our God, for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ and his cross. Give us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. In his name we pray, as we join now in praying the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We'll continue with the words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of our Lord be with you always. Amen.
Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, you take the sin of the world away. O Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, have mercy on us, Lord, we pray. O Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, you take the sin of the world away. Have mercy on us, Jesus Christ, and grant us peace, O Lord, we pray.
You may be seated. At this time, at the direction of our ushers, we respectfully ask that those who are communicant members of St. Stephen Congregation or of a sister congregation in the Church of the Lutheran Confession come forward to receive the Lord's Supper. During the distribution, we'll be singing our next hymn, hymn 636.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this, the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Please rise. We continue the singing of the Nunc Dimittis on the top of page 10.
Lord, now let your servant depart in heavenly peace, for I have seen the glory of your redeeming grace. A light to lead the Gentiles unto your holy hill. The glory of your people, your chosen Israel. All glory to the Father, all glory to the Son, all glory to the Spirit, forever three in one. For as in the beginning, is now, shall ever be, God's triune name resounding through all eternity.
Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Our closing hymn is hymn 650. You in the name of our Savior Jesus, and a warm welcome on behalf of our congregation to our guests and visitors who are with us today. I invite you to sign our guest book and welcome you to come and worship our Savior with us again in the near future. Several announcements in the bulletin. We have a pretty full week here at St. Stephen, both at church and school. After the worship today, we'll be having a 50th anniversary discussion. Everyone is invited to please join in that discussion. We actually appreciate your input on what we're to do going forward for the 50th anniversary. We'll meet in the fellowship hall after the service today. The Stockton worship service got rescheduled from last week, so it will be this Tuesday at 2 p.m. It will again be held at the Niblett Home in Stockton. Wednesday is our St. Stephen Lutheran School Family Fun Night at 6:30, and you see the directions, or at least the address to the location in the bulletin and the announcements. Begins at 6:30. Pizza and snacks will be provided at 7:30 when the program is over. Please come and join us for that and show your support for the students and our school. Thursday, then, is the last day of the school year for the students. They have a late start on Thursday at 10 a.m., and Saturday will be a cleanup day at 9 a.m., followed by a picnic at noon. Next Sunday is Trinity Sunday. Our worship service will be at the usual time of 10 a.m. with Bible class at 8:45. Notice also that coming up there is the CLC General Pastoral Conference and the Arise and Shine Retreat. That begins the 13th. I will be gone from the 12th of June, that's a Monday, to the 23rd of June, which is a Friday. I'll be attending both of those conferences and then having some vacation time after that. There are contact numbers there in the bulletin. So please don't hesitate to call if you need pastoral assistance during that time. VBS flyers are available in the entryway. We also have registration available online on both the church's website and school's website. So please direct people to that or give them a flyer and encourage them to sign their children up. The TVBS program is sending us three teachers to assist us, one college student, Zach Sippert, and then two high school students, Tim and Grace Meyer, who are brother and sister. They'll be coming out to help us teach the Vacation Bible School this year. We also are going to be forming a VBS planning committee. We'll be looking for volunteers to help with the week of VBS and also to help enact our plans for that week. We'll have a meeting, Lord willing, shortly after I return back from Wisconsin on the 23rd. Any other announcements I'm forgetting today? Paul has one.
I have a letter of acknowledgement that I received from Becca Lolo, who has the call to serve as our second teacher. She writes, "Dear members of St. Stephen's, I received a call extended to me by your congregation on May 27, 2017, to serve as a full-time teacher. I thank you all for the honor of being considered for the position. Please keep me in your prayers as I carefully and humbly seek the Spirit's guidance in determining my place in the work this week. May our Lord's will be done, your sister in Christ, Rebecca Little." And she provides some contact information. I'll be sure to send this out by email, so if people want to reach out to that, they can have an opportunity to do that.
Thank you. Please do keep her in your prayers, and her family as well. Any other announcements today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.